I'm excited to have Marissa Pino come and read our scripture passage for this morning.
The first scripture is Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 11. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that my Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The next scripture is Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you."
Thank you so much, Marissa. I'm very excited for our guest speaker, who's also my tag team partner for this morning. You know, a lot of people talk about being followers of Christ, but it's always encouraging when you can actually encounter someone who's really following Christ. This woman loves Jesus, and I've been able to work with her on numerous occasions at the Maple Leaf after school program. And just kind of seen that grow and the fruit of that. So it's an absolute blessing to have her with us this morning and being able to share. And she'll share a little bit more about what Step of Faith is and maybe a little bit more about what goes on at Maple Leaf. But can we give a warm St. Paul's welcome to Pam Hess?
Am I on? Yes?
Yes.
Good morning. I have to say, I'm a little nervous. Usually when I stand up here, I'm talking to your children. So it's a little different talking to all the adults of St. Paul's. But I want to thank Pastor Darby for inviting me here to speak a little bit about Step of Faith and what our ministry is about. And to encourage the Haiti team that's going to be leaving here in a few weeks to go down and serve in the community of Lacajou, where Step of Faith has been serving for many years. For those of you that don't know what Step of Faith is, we are a local nonprofit organization, and we are here to help meet the physical and spiritual needs of people who are hurting. And that really is a broad mission statement. It encompasses a lot. And we do a lot of ministry here in New Jersey, as Hector had mentioned. The Maple Leaf tutoring program, which is right down the road, has been a growing ministry over the last 2.5 years. Many churches have been able to come together and serve the children and now the adults of the community. And we are seeing a lot of fruit in that. However, this morning I really was going to focus on the Haiti side of Step of Faith. And just to give you a little bit of background about that, for some of you who know, Bob and Sue Hager were the founders of Step of Faith Ministry, and personal friends of mine. Bob and Sue came out of St. Paul's, and it was a trip to Haiti that really took Bob's heart into this vision of Step of Faith, where he made numerous trips down there. And I know some of you in this room were blessed to go on those trips with him. And he just fell in love with the people of Haiti and just continued to go for many years. And in 2003, he and Sue founded Step of Faith Ministry, and the trips continued. In 2007, Bob asked me if I would like to go with him on a trip. And little did I know what that was going to turn into 7 years later. But I, too, went down with him for 5 days and absolutely fell in love with the people of Haiti, with the culture, as difficult as it is down there, with the starvation and all of the lack of infrastructure that allows a country to be fruitful. The people of Haiti really make up for that in their joy and contentment and resolve. And that is just an absolute blessing that I've had the opportunity to receive each and every year as we bring teams down there. And the message this morning that Hector and I had sat and kind of talked about is an interesting message for the beginning of the new year. And I love how it was presented to the children. What do we do when God says no? And something that has actually happened in my life as I started to think about it in the last few weeks, 4 very significant times. I'm only really going to kind of talk about one of them because it really pertains to the ministry. After the invitation to go down to Haiti in 2007, I felt compelled to go back for a month and spend a time with the people of Haiti because I really wanted to better understand the culture down there. And I stayed at an orphanage called Danita's Orphanage. And I was there for a full month, and single at the time, I felt like this was a calling on my life to spend the rest of my life in Haiti. And I just didn't even want to come home. I wanted to stay down there. But I continued to pray and really ask the Lord what it was He wanted me to do. And towards the tail end of that month, and as I came back to New Jersey, I saw a vision in my mind of a bridge. And on one side was New Jersey, and on the other side was Haiti. And unfortunately, in my way of looking at it at the time, I was on the New Jersey side of the bridge. And I was really wondering why that was, because I felt that, wow, I can be a full-time missionary in Haiti. I can pour into this country from being in the country. I'm single. I have no attachments back here in New Jersey. But God made it very clear that, no, I was going to be on the New Jersey side, and that there was going to be some pretty awesome things to come after that. So after spending the month there, in 2009, I was asked to join Step of Faith. I had been doing some local ministry with Bob, helping people in the area, and he asked me if I would like to become more of a part of Step of Faith. And his words were, I'm ready to pass the torch, and I would like to pass it to somebody who has the same vision, who has energy, and who can continue to carry the ministry forward. Anyone that knew Bob knew that those were pretty big shoes to fill. An amazingly humble man, a godly man, who I loved. And I was a little nervous about stepping into such an area. I prayed about it, and I did decide to take that step of faith and to join the ministry. Come 2010, there was a lot of changes that happened, starting with the earthquake that hit Haiti in the beginning of January. And that really was a difficult time for me personally, because having been to Haiti a few times already, I saw how difficult that island already was trying to live. and I couldn't understand why God would allow such a devastating event to happen. And through my morning devotionals, I was in the book of Deuteronomy, and I was praying for several weeks, like, Lord, why such poor? Why is there such poor and such heartache in the world? And on this particular morning, I came across Deuteronomy 15:11, which says, the poor will never cease to be in the world. Therefore, I command you to freely open up your hand and give to the poor, the needy, and those in your land. And that right there answered that question, that there's always going to be those hurting people. And it's up to us to step out of our comfort zone to help those that are in need. So that was the beginning of the year. A few months later, we come to find out that Bob had been diagnosed with cancer. And over the next several months, the ministry asked me to become their missions coordinator. And I did so. And Bob went home to be with the Lord. And it was a difficult time. And at the same time, there was a sense of a peace in my heart that God was going to continue to do something through the ministry that he had already started in Bob. A little side note that added to that year was that I met my husband, fell in love, and got married all within 4.5 months. So there was a lot going on in 2010. But God's timing was perfect with that as well, having been single for 42 years and praying for a very long time for my husband. He knew when to bring him in so we can do ministry together. So since 2007, I have had the opportunity, a blessed opportunity, to lead many trips down to Haiti, to return to Haiti 9 times. And each time that I am able to go down there and bring youth and adults to do Bible camps and bring supplies and work projects, a little bit more of my heart stays in Haiti. And it's a little bit harder to come back to New Jersey because of their simplicity, because of their lack of entitlement, because of their just pure love for one another. It's a beautiful place to be. But God continues to bring me back, and to this point, my husband and I, to be in New Jersey. But the whole idea of the theme of what do you do when God says no, I think back to that time when the Lord told me no as far as staying in Haiti full-time and at the same time growing Step of Faith. When Bob died, the ministry actually began to grow, which is kind of ironic. In the last several years, we have gone from 50 children being sponsored to go to school in Haiti to 65 children. We've also added our first college students, 3 of them from Haiti. We have 2 Albanian students going to college, and there is 1 student going to New Tribes Missions to become a missionary. We had started a few years ago a Grains of Grace feeding program in Haiti, which is currently feeding 67 families, about 350 people in the town of Lac-Ajou. And this is where the St. Paul's team will be ministering in a few weeks. These families are in a small town that has basically been forgotten, and because it's surrounded by 2 major towns. And many in this town die from very easy, preventable things, such as a bronchitis, a cold, an infection. And the food that is now provided on a monthly basis, rice and beans, we have seen a remarkable transformation in the lives of these children as we go down each year. They look healthier. There's no running noses. Their hair is not red anymore, as is so indicative of somebody who's on the verge of starvation. And so that has been a growth within the ministry. We partner with an organization called Aslan Youth Ministries. Craig Bogart is the founder of that ministry, who will actually be taking the St. Paul's team down this year. And we have been able to partner with them in helping to place a medical clinic on the grounds of Lac-Ajou. My husband has made several trips to help with that endeavor, hooking up the generator. And this past summer, Rich Gunther was with us, and he's an electrician, and he hooked up the electrical. and the team that will be going down in a few weeks, you all are going to be hooking up some water supply to this medical clinic to allow it to be a fully functioning clinic, the first one ever in the town of Lac-Ajou. As we speak right now, Dr. Dan Berzon, whose daughter has been down with us on several occasions, he has taken his small medical team, and they are at the clinic today doing a small clinic, first time. And it's just a blessing to know that these people are going to start receiving medical care. We also, in the last several years, have been able to start a nutrition supplement program through another partnership at Donita's Orphanage, where there's 104 orphans there. And this nutrition supplements have been life-changing for these children, especially those who have immune deficiencies. Our shoe collection, a ministry that started when Bob was still alive, continues strongly today. And that ministry is one that many churches have been involved with, including St. Paul's. And you wouldn't think that shoes would be a big deal, but it so is down in Haiti because many people walk around barefoot. There's no sewage treatment plants, so the sewage and all is around where they walk. So if they have a little cut on the bottom of their foot, they can easily get an infection, get very sick, and ultimately die. So we provide each year 104 pairs of shoes for Donita's children at the orphanage. And St. Paul's, once again, will be participating in that ministry. You'll see out on the back table later on today these shoe tags. If you're interested in being involved, I'll be back there to explain a little bit more about how you can go out and purchase a pair of shoes to put on the feet of one of the children from the orphanage. That ministry has also grown, where another Methodist church has now purchased 85 pairs of brand new sneakers. And again, the team from St. Paul's will be bringing those sneakers down in a few weeks and being blessed, a blessing to these children as they distribute them to 85 of our children in Lac-Ajou. So many ministries have continued to grow over these last 7 years. And one close to my heart is some of you may know her name. She used to go here to the school. Sophia Amorsky has been down to Haiti with us 4 times. And on her second trip, she said to me that she felt the Lord was leading her to be a full-time missionary in Haiti. And she will be going off to college this year, and she will continue to be pursuing the vision that God has given her. And that was one of my visions when the Lord said no, as far as me personally staying in Haiti, but yes, that he would be raising up other missionaries that could be there full time. So what he's doing in Sophia's life is just an absolute blessing as he continues to do his work down there. So these are just some of those ministries that came out of God's no to a particular person who really felt led to be in one place at one time. And no is not a bad thing. I believe Hector had said it earlier. You know, God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So when he does put a no or a restraint on our heart about something, there can be so many other blessings that can come. And I just want to share a very quick story before I pass this off to Hector. Some of you may be familiar with the Jewish calendar, but September to September is the Jewish calendar. And September of 2014 to September of 2015 is the sabbatical year, or the year of rest. Back in August, I was already looking at 2015, and I saw 3 mission trips already set up to go back to Haiti, one being the one from St. Paul's and then 2 coming in July. And in August, the Lord began to put something on my heart that I was not going to be returning to Haiti this year and leading these trips. And at first, it sounded very strange to my ears because anyone that knows me for 5 minutes knows that that's where I'd rather be than anywhere else. So for God to say, no, you're not going, I really couldn't understand it. But at the same time, I had this peace in my heart. So I continued to pray. I shared it with my husband. We shared it with our board. And there was a unanimous agreement that I was not to go down this year. And this was before the Ebola came out. This had nothing to do with anything that was happening in the world and still isn't. It was just God putting a restraint on my heart. So then I needed to come up with how I was going to speak with Claire and the mission team, the team that was coming down to St. Paul's, and how God just worked it out so beautifully is that they have the founder of Aslan Youth Ministries actually escorting them down to the very area that Step of Faith ministers to. So the partnership that is now going to be formed there as well is very exciting to us. And I do look forward to bringing the St. Paul's team down to Haiti in the future and continuing other trips. But for whatever God has right now, He had said no to me as the one leading it. But the idea that this is a sabbatical year began to put on my heart, well, maybe the Lord has something for me to rest from. I'm a doer. I do a lot. I love what I do and what I'm blessed to do. But it just began to get me thinking that in this sabbatical year, there may be things for all of us that we need to take a rest from. It doesn't mean that ministry stops by any means. As I mentioned before, we have all the new sneakers now going down to the Lakaju children. We have the medical needs being made even today down in Lakaju. And, you know, a little bit about Maple Leaf here at home, that ministry has just exploded with so many children being blessed and hearing the gospel and Bible camps going on and youth groups going on. And so that has really taken a different shape. So I just wanted to finish by saying, learn to rest in the fact that the Lord may say no to something within our Christian journey, but be excited about what He's going to do in that time. And don't look at a no as something negative, because I look back now 7 years ago, this year I had gone to Haiti for my first time, and I would have never imagined all that He would have done in and through the ministry and all of those who have been a part of it. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Pam. You know, what's great about what Pam shared is that's an experience that I think everyone is familiar with, right? We're kind of spoiled here in the West sometimes, and we get very entitled. We don't like hearing no, right? I definitely don't. I dislike hearing no, but I think that maybe before we get into fully about when God says no, what do we do when we do that? I know one of the things that has been a struggle in my life, and I think it's a struggle for everyone, is how do we know when God is saying no, right? Like, that's kind of like the first step before we can even get to, all right, God's saying no, but now what do I do with it, right? So I just wanted to give a couple of quick practical steps that you can take. First one being is, you know, don't try to over-spiritualize it. And what I mean by this is some people get so worried that they're going to somehow upset God with the decision or choice that they make that it's like, God, should I have cornflakes or oatmeal this morning? Well, you know, oatmeal's warm and it's cold out, so maybe I should have oatmeal. But you know what? Cornflakes, it brings me back to my youth and that warms my heart. You know? And honestly, like we need to trust that, you know, if James gives us the encouragement to ask God for wisdom, that we can ask God for wisdom and make, you know, certain choices, you know, within God's domain, right? The second thing that I would encourage you to is that maybe ask yourself if a sin is in the way. What I mean by that is, you know, if you're finding that, I'm gossiping and all of a sudden the person I'm gossiping about shows up, or man, I'm really trying to illegally download this program that I really, really enjoy. Why is the internet going so slow right now? I think that those are those like gentle reminders that God gives. Sort of like Balaam was with the donkey, that those gentle reminders that God does. My mom used to do this thing where she would just give me like a gentle pinch, and like if I were misbehaving or something in church, she'd just give me a gentle little pinch and I'd be like, you're hurting me. And she's like, I am, you know, just a kind of a little nudge that God puts in our way. So you know, maybe it's a sin in your life that might be kind of blocking you being able to really hear from God. You know, I think of it almost like a TV signal, right? When it rains, or there's a storm out, it makes it hard for us to kind of see the picture clearly. Like, we can maybe see some of the words or some of the people, but it doesn't come clearly. And that's what sin does sometimes. It really kind of clouds our communication with God. Not that He's not speaking to us, but it's like maybe it kind of blocks us from really being able to hear Him clearly and perceptible. And then Pam had touched on these two, praying, and then also just seeking godly wisdom, some input from others. And including in that, getting into your Bible, because we can see the example set by so many, others that, you know, came before us. And so, you know, obviously not one of those is kind of like just the go-to. You kind of need, all those together combined to really help you, you know, get a fuller picture of is God really saying yes or no? I mean, I think the important thing about that is just communicating with God. Is just really drawing, near to Him. When we do have those questions in our lives. But what do we do with that? What do we do when we finally see that that God is saying no? And I think there's a few things that we can do. For one, you can see it as an opportunity to set others up, right? As an opportunity to kind of push others forward. And it was great that that Pam had shared that about Bob Hager and even about her you know, kind of feeling like God was saying no, opening up an opportunity for others. That seems to be God's pattern. I look at it over and over in the Bible, and that seems to be God's pattern. You see, with Moses and Joshua, right? Yeah, Elijah, Elisha, Jesus and the disciples, right? When Marissa read that passage, that's what the disciples were basically asking right before Jesus ascended into heaven. They were like, "Hey, are you going to set things up? Is it going to be heaven on earth now?" And he was like, "No, it's not." And so there's something special about it that God loves kind of pushing forward the next generation. You know, maybe God knows that we have a tendency to let the pros do everything and we never want to like step forward. I know that was my case. I never wanted to preach. I never wanted to speak in front of people. I was the drama guy. I liked doing dramas and that was fine. But in terms of preaching, I never wanted to do it. And it wasn't until I had others kind of push me that I kind of saw, well, it's kind of cool. I like it. So, you know, I honestly, that's my dream. Maybe it's because I'm the youth guy, that's my dream, that one day, you know, we'll have some of the kids come up here and preach, right? I loved it. Weren't you blessed when Kira did the children's sermon? I think it was for Father's Day. That was awesome, wasn't it? Right? So I think that as a church, we can encourage our youth. We can encourage our youth. Don't just wait for me to do it, all right? Encourage them. Get out there. They are awesome kids, and I really believe that that God wants to use them. So sometimes maybe if God's pulling you back from a ministry, that's kind of an opportunity for you to kind of look to somebody else and say, hey, you know what? You can do this. And I think, just another example of that was I think Ruth Snyder, who I never had the pleasure of knowing, but she encouraged many others to step up and to take her place. So you know, that just seems to be God's pattern. But you know, it's not only when God says no to our plans, but it's also for our needs too, like unanswered prayers. You see, I think that being vulnerable with each other, that the body of Christ, that is, that when we're vulnerable with each other, when we're kind of recognizing that, hey, I can't do it all my own, I need some help, that opens up an opportunity for somebody else to step in and say, hey, I want to meet that need. I want to help you out. You know, but we have to be vulnerable with each other. You know, it's cool that in the book of Genesis, we read about the man and the woman, they were naked and they had no shame, right? There's just kind of this beautiful picture of, you know what, they didn't have to cover up. They didn't have to be, they knew that they could be vulnerable with each other. Now, I'm not saying, you know, let's come here next week or join your nudist colony or whatever, but we can, you know, the clothing that's covering our hearts sometimes, where, you know, somebody asks, hey, how was your week? Yeah, it was fine. You know, that we can do away with that so that if we're willing to say, man, I'm vulnerable. I had a rough week. That opens up an opportunity for others to step up and say, hey, I've been there before. And I definitely want to meet that, right? You know, it's so amazing how when you get sick, there's so many mechanisms inside of the body that, you know, like the brain sends signals to your antibodies, and the antibodies go and do this, and the muscles do that, and it's like the entire body is working to make that sick part well. And how awesome would it be if the church could be the same way, right? So it might be an opportunity to kind of push somebody forward. Sorry, that's what that one was. So the second thing that I think we can do is as Joshua kind of suggested, is consecrate yourselves. You know, this idea of prepping, you know, sometimes God says no because he wants to prep you for something else. He wants to work in you something else. You know, I sometimes like to think of this idea that while we're waiting on God to like show up or to answer, that as we're waiting for God to show up or to answer, that we can wait on God, almost like a waiter, right? Like, well, what can I do for you, Lord? Or are you, you know, what? How can I help you, God? You know, I think of it so many times where I've been personally waiting and waiting and waiting for some sort of prayer to be answered, and those have been some of the times of biggest ministry, the times where God's really opened up my eyes to the hurt of others around me. You know, it's my friend Ed, he had cancer, and he said to me once that, you know, I used to just pray for people when I hear, oh, they have cancer. Oh, gosh, all right, wow, that's terrible. And they would pray for them. But once he got it, he was like, no, I understand. I am praying for those people, you know. So I think that you know, when God says no, it's an opportunity for us to see and look around and be like, well, who else is getting a no that maybe I can be the yes for, that God wants to use me to come forward. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. What a great guy C.S. Lewis was, right? Hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. You know, so don't look at the no as kind of like a door being shut, but maybe it's a time to pause, to go a little slower, and to really, really seek God out more, to prepare yourself for that great thing that he has, right? The other thing that we can do is don't be afraid to lament. You know, and lamenting is not just complaining, but it's a godly way of saying, God, you are the only one. You are the only one that can do something. Please look at me. See it. You know, I think God is okay with us being honest with him, with our struggles. He wants us to come to him. He says that, you know, a broken and contrite spirit, I will not reject, you know? So there's this idea of, you know, maybe it's an opportunity for us to exercise our faith by kind of saying, you know, God, I'm broken and I'm being honest and I desperately need you. It kind of puts us in that place where we can really hear from God, you know, because we're recognizing our dependency on him. And God loves that when he sees that, wow, you really need me? That's awesome. Kind of connected to that as another thing that we can do is it opens us up to trusting God, you know, because in doing so, it connects us with Jesus. You know, we're connected with Jesus. You know, like I said with the students, you know, imagine for a sec if Jesus hadn't trusted God's plan, if he decided, you know what, I'm calling in that legion of angels. That's it. I'm not going to be murdered anymore. You know, we'd be lost. There'd be no redemption, no resurrection. You know, and so there's this idea that Jesus really had to trust in God's plan and not his own plan. And that's a hard thing. I mean, isn't that tough? That is so, so tough. You know, I mean, especially like, again, with us in the West, we're so used to being in control. Like, it's our world. You know, we're so used to it. And it's hard to really trust God sometimes. You know, but honestly, I think it's almost a way that when we go to God and we trust him, even though he's maybe saying no about something, it's a way that we can commiserate almost, or it connects us with Jesus in the sense that I remember when I was a teacher that one of the most cathartic things we could do is go into the teacher's lounge and just vent about, oh, this student, this kid, oh, I can't believe this parent, you know, and so when we have, you know, a situation where we're praying or we're waiting on something, God's saying no, it's awesome that we have a Savior who's also in that same place too. And in that, we, you know, it's not easy when God says no, but man, it's such an amazing thing that, you know, even though Jesus had to suffer through something. You know, maybe you're suffering through something that's physical. Maybe it's emotional, mental, spiritual, all that stuff. We have a Savior that suffered all of that, and yet was able to say at a certain point, He was able to say, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." You know, Jesus was saying, "Look, this is a horrible, the worst physical, emotional, spiritual pain I could ever feel. But God, I trust You. Into Your hands I commit my spirit." You know, I don't know if you're in a place today where you're feeling like God keeps saying no, and you feel like, man, it's just rejection after rejection after rejection. You know, maybe saying no to some of your plans, or you have someone in an answered prayer. But we know that, like Jesus, we can also place our lives in the hands of a loving Father who promises to resurrect even that which seems dead. And so I wanted us to, you know, I did this with the students, and I feel like we can do that too. There's something about doing like some sort of physical motion that for me it really helps me, and I encourage you that to do it as well. What we'll do is, I want you to imagine that thing that maybe you're praying for, that thing that, you know, you've been waiting on, or you feel like you've, you know, it's just a blockage maybe in your life. And I want us to kind of hold that thing up, but at a certain point, I'll kind of lead us to just open our hands and as a symbolic way of saying, "God, I trust You. This is not easy. You know it's not easy, but I trust You." Can we do that? Can we pray together? Are you comfortable? Heavenly Father, You see this thing that we're holding symbolically in our hands, but perhaps it's just weighing down our heart. God, You see all things, Lord, and You are good, God. We declare that You are good. Lord, this is a difficult thing that we're holding on to, and Lord, as we open our hands, we just do it symbolically saying that, God, we trust You, Lord. Have Your way. Whatever You want, whatever You say, God, we trust You. We just ask for Your perfect will to be done. Thank You that You are good, Lord. Thank You that You love us, God. Thank You, God, because we know that Your plans are good, and for good and not for harm. So, God, we just ask for Your strength. And, Lord, we ask that if You want us to step up, God, and push others forward, or if You want us to step out of the way, or move us, Lord, we just ask for Your perfect will to be done in our lives. So, Jesus, we thank You, and we love You, Lord, and we give You praise. In Your holy name we pray. Amen.